Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about the full armor of God, what's in your arsenal. So if you want to be a part of the show, you can call in at 516-531-9550, or you can tune in at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. So as we always begin, we're going to give you a few minutes of praise and worship, then we'll be back to begin today's topic. So today we're going to start off with Torrin Wells, When We Pray. Then we'll have Ancient of Days by Ron Canole, Brian Cage singing A Shield for Me. Hope you enjoy the music.
People hurting, people broken, beaten down and feeling hopeless. Wonder if it's gonna always be this way. We will speak up for the captive, show some love and heal our past. Find the one you think will never go away. But what if we could be the people of harmony? As one little buggy, we believe. When the church starts praying, strong won't stop the break. Oh, when we pray, when the world starts shaking, at the sound of praise, nothing stands the same. Oh, when we pray, oh, 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 when we pray, oh, 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 oh. I see revival rising, I see hope on the horizon, as a generation stepping out of faith. Because we will be a people of honor, as one before the King, cause we believe. Hey! All the world's not changing, when the church starts praying, strong won't stop the break. Yeah.
Not only with our mouths and with our hands clapping and feet dancing, but Lord, we even worship you on our instruments tonight. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lord, I'm a blazing priest that troubled me. Many are made that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God.
it is not in or of our own will that we will be able to defeat the enemy. See? It is only through the strength of Christ. Again, Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In his power, not our power. We can be the strongest man in the world, able to lift as many pounds as we think we are able to do. But when you're fighting a spiritual fight, none of that matters. Again, at 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, the things that you know that God has done for you in the past, the battles that he has fought in your life and you have overcome. And you say, oh, I know that was God. I know that was Jesus because I couldn't have done that except that God helped me. So everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Last week we talked about what God has said about you. What has he said about you? Bring it into obedience. Bring those thoughts that come to your mind that are contrary to the will of God. Bring those things down and make them obedient to that which God has purposed and that which God has said about you, that which God has said about your life. See? See? What has he said? You've got to learn to fight for those things. And it's not a physical fight. And this is what Ephesians is talking about. In verse 11, it said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of whom? Against the wiles of the devil. That you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You have a real adversary once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a true adversary. He don't want you to be saved if he's had you in his hand all of these years. Do you think that just because you confess Christ that you're good to go? That there is not going to be a battle in your mind? That there is not going to be at times a battle in your body to be obedient to the will of God or that which God has called you to do? No. Because he's very angry. You see? He's very angry. Because now he's lost the soul. His kingdom diminishes. In the Bible it says hell enlarges itself every day. See? It enlarges itself every day because people are deceived, thinking that, you know, what looks good is good and that a good thing is a God thing. But let me tell you, every good thing is not a God thing. If that is not God's will, it might be the best thing that you can do for you or for somebody else, but if it is not aligned with the will of God, then guess what? It's good, but it ain't God. Remember, he says, many will come to me and say, you know, I did this in your name. I cast out devils, and I did all of these things in your name. And he says, I will say to you, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Why? Because it was not done in the will of God. And you find that will through the Spirit of the living God, not out of your flesh, not doing things by your flesh. So even though it's a good thing and you're doing it out of your flesh, well, if it's not in accordance with the will of God for your life, then, hey, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. You weren't obedient to me. Remember, the scripture says, bringing that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not what we think, not how we think, not how we feel, not how we see things, but how God has ordained those things for our life, how he has purposed them, those steps that he has chosen for us to walk out. See? Not how we see it, because remember, his thoughts And his ways are not our thoughts, and they are not our ways. These are two different things. We deal in the fleshly. We deal in the natural. We deal in the things that are tangible, in the things that we can touch, in the things that we can see. God deals in the things that he has already spoken about us. Remember First John, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was what? With God. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. See? So where we know that that Word was Christ, okay? Initially, that Word was Christ. Initially, it was Adam, but Adam fell, and that caused a separation. So then that Word became Christ, renewed, the second Adam, renewed that man might be reconciled back to God, that we could have that relationship once again with the Father, where he comes down in the cool of the day and he can speak with us. See, now we do that in prayer. We go boldly before his throne, making our petitions known. Before, we couldn't do that because, as you read in the Old Testament, Moses built a tabernacle. It was the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. And only the high priest, the Aaronic priesthood, were the ones that could go into the holies of holies and make petition to God for the people. But now, by the blood of the Lord Christ Jesus, Yeshua, I deny, as our intercessor, as our intermediary, as the sacrificial lamb, see, that reconciled us back to God, that now we might come into his presence and to tell him, this is what I need. This is how I feel. God, this ain't working for me. Whatever our petitions are, boldly coming before his throne to make our petitions known. See? Christ did that for us. So if the enemy knows that now that you have access back to the Father, which he deceived Eve, who in turn took the fruit to Adam, and he ate just without thinking, see? And caused the downfall of man. The enemy did all this, they said, because he is a liar. And the father of lies, see, and a deceiver, see, because the woman was deceived, but the man was not. The man was disobedient, but the woman was deceived. She had the conversation. Eve had the conversation with the serpent. That's why, ladies, it ain't good to talk to everybody. Everybody that smile and grin in your face and pay you a nice compliment, beware. See, beware. See, because sometimes people say anything to you to get what they want from you. So let me say that again. Sometimes people will say anything to you to get what they want from you. We can't be led by our emotions. That's why this is a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have to kill our flesh, those our desires that rest in our emotions, that rest in the way that we think, in the way that we see folks, because all the time what you see is not what it is. Now, I'm talking to the ladies right now. Gentlemen, y'all hold on a second. I'll get to y'all next. Now, see, you know, sometimes we see this nice-looking guy. You know, he's cute. He's attractive. He's what we want. But is that what God has purposed for your life? We've all been in relationships that did not work out. Whether it was marriage, whether it was just girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other, whatever y'all want to call them today. And we knew, even though at the beginning it seemed like the right thing to do, it seemed like a good thing to do. But later on down the road, we find out, nah, you just flew in here from the pits of hell. You a demon in disguise. But did we consult God? Did we go in the spirit? Did we stay there until we got an answer from the Father? See, Like Daniel prayed 21 days to figure out what the meaning of the dream was. He said, listen, I saw this. I don't know what it means. God, you're going to have to tell me. And God sent an angel. And the angel took the time and explained it, precept upon precept. But do we just guard? Do we just go into prayer all emotional? Telling God, I said, telling God what we want rather than asking His will for our lives. God, what is your will for this situation? See, that's what 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 is talking about. It says, bringing that thought into the captivity unto the obedience of Christ. It says, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalts itself. See? So we have to tear those things down because we know that's not like God. See? So 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's no higher place on your body than your head. I'm going to say that again. There is no higher place on your body than your head. So if the enemy can send thoughts to your head, see, if he can put thoughts in your brain as he did with Eve, see, because again, Eve was the one that was deceived because she was the one that had the conversation with the enemy. See, ladies, I know y'all don't like this, but as I said, gentlemen, hold on because I'm coming to you. But I want to deal with the emotional state and the emotional mind of women. See, and I can say this because I'm a woman. I've been there, done that. See, we see something that we want. We see something that we like. And Lord forbid if we go shopping. Goodness gracious. Back in the day, you know, before I got saved, I say there's two things you can't talk to no woman or no woman about. You can't talk to no woman about her man and her child because she's not finna hear you because she's already got her mind made up about those two things and that she's not finna hear anything you got to say about them because that love, that emotion for them, see, is so strong. See, you just not finna come. You know, you know, they just say blood is thicker than water. You're not finna come against my man and you're not finna come against my child. I don't know what's wrong with you. See, they weren't going to hear that, even though what you had to say very well may have been the correct thing to say, might have been the truth. They were not hearing you because their mind was already made up and the emotional relationship, that emotional bond could not be severed, see, until they had a change of mind. They had to make a 360, not a 180, but a 360 degree turn. That's what it says. This new mind and new heart in you, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So he's giving us a new mind and a new heart. See? So you don't think the same way. You don't act the same way. Those emotions that you have, they're not so strong. Now you are able to see the truth, number one, about yourself. And number two, the truth about other people. So that when the enemy can't get to you and he starts to get into your children, see, and they start acting crazy and not acting out. I know I ain't raised you like that. See, doing things that they would not normally do, doing things in your house that are not acceptable to you. You see beyond the natural. You see beyond the fleshly and recognize this is a spiritual attack because now you have accepted Christ. Now you are on the path of righteousness. Now you want to live right. See? Verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 6 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What did I just say? Now that you have accepted Christ, now you walk in the truth. Now you can see the truth. And that's the first thing that Ephesians talked about. Gird your loins about with truth. Why your loins? Because those are the reproductive, that is where your reproductive organs are. See? That is where your reproductive organs are. Any newness, birth comes through those. See? So having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See your mind change? And your emotions change. Because the breastplate covers all of your vital organs in your torso. See? Covers your heart, you know, and all the vital organs in your torso. See? That righteousness covers you. So when it comes a time to make vital decisions about what you make a decision about in your life, you can do it not out of emotions, but out of the real spirit and truth of God. That's what the Bible says. If we're going to serve God, we must serve him in what? In spirit and in what? In truth. See, no more lying to ourselves. See? No more lying to ourselves about our kids or about our relationships. No more lying to ourselves about our own selves. See? See? And it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See? The shield of faith. Because without faith, you can't believe God. Without faith, you don't know that there is a God. Because without faith, you have to have faith to believe that God is real. That's all it is. It's just believing that God is real. That God is who he said he is. That he's going to do what he said he was going to do. And taking that faith, taking that belief, and acting on it. Putting God in remembrance of what his promises is for your life. See, you can't see the words coming out of my mouth. They're not printing out over your phone in a text. But you can hear them. See, they are spirit and they are truth and they bring life. They restore hope. See, the helmet of salvation. Again, what is the highest place on your head? Remember? Warring against spiritual wickedness in high places. The helmet of salvation. You are covered in salvation. Covered with the blood of Jesus Christ who died so that we might be saved. The helmet. It covers your head. It covers your thoughts. It guards your ears. See? So that the enemy can't speak all manner of evil to you. Because now you have a barrier between what he's trying to put in your mind and what the truth is. See? You have that barrier. Because now you have that helmet. You are fully able to withstand every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy by the very knowledge of God. All right. This is what the Bible says in Timothy, study now to show thyself approved. Now let's go over to Jude 1. There's only one book in Jude right before Revelations. And we're going to start at verse 3 where it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. What does that mean, to earnestly contend? It means to fight. Contend means to fight, to struggle. See? Earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints. Earnestly fight for the words that were spoken over your life. Earnestly fight for those things, for the promises of God. Don't just let anybody come up when you thoroughly convinced you've seen God move in your life. You've seen him. You, when you've seen God move in your life, when you have the evidence, when you know that you are a living testimony, don't allow anybody else to come and tell you, no, you did that in and of yourself or that wasn't God. No, you fight for that. Let them believe what they want to believe. As I say all the time, okay, you can believe what works for you, but I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because I know he's working for me. Because it's just some situations and some circumstances that I was in that I know only God brought me out of. See? Favor. See? What God had purpose for my life, we don't know. When the enemy, when God allowed the enemy to come against him and take everything that he owned, make him sick. Make his friends tell him he had sinned when God, when Job knew that, hey, I really haven't done anything against God. I can't see anything that I have done. But see, Job was living so comfortably. He didn't have any trials or tribulations going on in his life. But when they came, he said, I wish that I was never born. He said he cursed the day that he was born. How you gonna curse something that God ordained? That God purposed, because he purposed for you to be here for a reason, for such a time as this. So how, Job, are you going to curse what I have created? See, that was the question in 42. See, so Job turns around and Job says, Lord, I spoke about things I knew nothing about. He said, I heard of you before, but now I know. See, now I've got this personal relationship with you, God. I know that you are able to restore all of my children, even though the enemy came and took them away, got them into all kinds of calamity. They lost their lives all in a day. See, I know you are able to give back to me everything that the enemy took away from me. I didn't see how, I didn't know how, but all I know, God, is that you did it. So you can't allow anybody to come to you when you are the living evidence. We look for material things. Hebrews 11 and 1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have a living hope that is in Christ Jesus. See, we don't have to know the how. We don't have to know the why. All we need to know is that God can and will. That was his promise. That's why he said we must contend. We must fight. See, for the faith, for the belief that was given in Christ Jesus. Everything that God has promised for us. Jesus came, he said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. You got life now. You all right now, but I came to give you a little bit extra, that your cup runneth over. See? That you have exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever think or that you could imagine. See, this is why I came. This is why I came to restore you to the Father. See? Jude 1, verse 4. He said, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. See? He is talking to the people. He's talking to the people and he's saying that, listen, there were men of old who came against the church. There are people in your life, see, ordained by the enemy. Men of old. Who is the oldest spirit? You know, Satan. See, been coming against the church since the beginning of time. See, because they remember in Isaiah 14, he said that I will raise my throne above God. He wanted to be God. Have you had those people in your life who wanted to be more than what they were ordained to be in your life, wanted to be more important than what they needed to be in your life. See? Want to tell you how to live, how to think, how to feel. In other words, they wanted to be that dictator in your life, taking you away from the things of God. See? When you got your foot in the door, when you just began to know Christ, oh, girl, you don't need to be at that church like that. Why you always running down there to that church? You begin to pay your tithes and offering. Why you giving all your money to that church? You always at the church. No. See, because if you were always at the church, then you'd never be home. If you were always at the church, you never have time to go to work. If you were always at the church, you couldn't take care of your children. See how the enemy distorts things? See? Causes you to think that there's an issue serving God, that there's an issue with you serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I came to tell you, yes, there is. To the enemy, yeah, there's an issue, see? Because, see, he thought he had you for eternity, but when Christ came, he turned it around. Remember, he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He said, by my stripes, you are healed. So that disease that the enemy had for you, that he thought you would never be healed of, that he just thought he'd take you on to the grave with, Christ said, not so. That bad mind that had you thinking that you weren't nothing, you never be nothing, you never had nothing because you had a few bad relationships and they degraded you so bad you didn't have any self-worth, any self-esteem. See? That you thought that this is all there is to me. But when Christ came in and said, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, made in my image. And in Haggai said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, thus saith the Lord God. See? And put you in high places in Christ Jesus. You had to look at yourself differently because now you're made in the image of God. See? And he says that everything that I made is beautifully and wonderfully made. So you can't look at yourself and what they say. See, because remember, those were the lies of the enemy. So you have to toss all that out with the old self. See? Because now you've been to the potter's wheel and you've been remade in the image of Christ. So you walk with your head high. See? Remember, Romans 8 and 1 says, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So now your past is no longer, you're no longer, it's nothing for you to be ashamed about. There's nothing in your past that can condemn you because now your past is a testimony for somebody else to overcome. Because now that you have overcome it, you see yourself in a new light. You are stronger. Your mind is higher. Your thoughts are higher. In Christ Jesus, you have some value to your life. You have some value in your self-worth because Christ is now your head. All praises be. Remember, the strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and he gives you that everlasting joy, that everlasting peace, knowing that whatever comes or tries to come against you, God has already taken care of it. See, because the most difficult thing in your life is beginning to believe that God can and God will. And once he gives you that evidence, it only takes once. Once he gives you that evidence, nobody can tell you what God can't do. Did he sustain you in the time of famine? When you didn't have any food in your house? When your lights were out and you didn't have any money? Did somebody come by and say, oh, well, somebody paid your bill, your lights are back on? Oh, we just thought we wanted to bring this food by your house. See? See? The Bible says that he will cause men to give unto his bosom. He didn't say he was coming out of heaven to bring you anything, but he will put you on somebody's mind and heart that they will release unto you exactly what you need. Let me say that again. He will put your name, you, on somebody's heart that they release unto you exactly what you need. out of the blue. You ain't got to part your lips except to the Father. He said that which you pray in secret, I will reward you for openly. You ain't got to cast all around the world what you need. All you got to do is tell your Father. The Bible says, how would a father not withhold any good thing from you? That's what God promises. He said, I will not withhold any good thing from you. Whatever you need. See? Whatever you need, I ask me. Anything that you ask in my name, I am going to give it to you. See? Whatever you ask me for, I will give it to you. See? So then here we are still in Jude. Judas is speaking. He's speaking. In verse 6, he said, and the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own inhabitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness until the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. It says they speak evil of dignitaries, those in authority. That any good thing that they speak, the enemy misconstrues it, causes your mind to think, oh, well, you know, that's just that pastor, or, you know, that's what she's saying, that's how she feel, but, you know, that's good for her, but it don't matter. It worked for her, but it ain't going to work for me. God has no respect of person. See? He delivered her from all of these sins, but you know, God, you know, that's her. But this is how I feel. No. What did God say? Anything that you ask in my name, believing, so you shall receive. So you don't have to stay in that sinful life. You don't have to stay in that emotional state that causes you to make the wrong decisions because you feel lonely. Or because you feel unloved, or because you feel unworthy. God never called you to be less than. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if God is greater and we've been made in his image, then guess what? We are greater. We are greater than anything that the enemy can throw at us. Not naturally, but spiritually, because you can't see God, but you know by the evidence of the things that he's brought you through in your life that he is indeed with you. Because his word says that I will never leave, nor will I ever forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Not some days, not sometimes, but always. I am a very present help in the time of trouble. And we know God is not a man that he should lie, so his word is what? Sacred. If he said it, he will definitely do it. It will come to pass in your life. But are you able to stand as it says, having therefore your loins girded about with truth, able to stand in the evil day when calamity is all around you, when it ain't looking like it's going to work? Are you able to stand and say, but God, you said, this is your promise for my life. This is what you have called me to do. This is who you say I am, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. God, Father, this is what you said. You said, you are my shepherd and I shall not want. That in the midst of all my enemies, you are preparing a table for me. And that goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Are you saying that when it's looking like it's not going to work? Are you believing that in the end, no matter how, God is going to come through for you? not about a feeling. It's not about what it looked like. Flesh has no part in this. That's why it says we must die to our flesh. We must die to our emotions. We must die to how we feel. See? See? And men, let me just say this. When your wife or your girlfriend or whatever come crying to you, or your children come crying to you, and all of this, you don't give in. You got to be obedient to what God has said. Somebody used to tell me a long time ago when I used to tell him, I said, but I love you. He said, he would always tell me, Shawty, it ain't that much love in the world. I understand what he's, I didn't then because I was young and naive. See? But I understand in God. There is not that much love in the world, but in God, but in Christ. See? We are forgiven, so therefore we are able to be forgiven. See? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Which one of you would be willing for people, don't even look anybody anywhere else, look at yourself. Look at your child and look in the mirror at yourself and say that you would want your child to die for your sins. So that you could be saved, let alone die for somebody else, for a wicked, stiff-necked people who turned their back against you, who didn't respect you, who had everybody else before you, who wouldn't even call on your name until their back was against the wall and there was no way to turn to the left or to the right except to look up and remember God. Because now you in 400 and something odd years of bondage in Egypt. But before that, we were serving all kinds of idol gods. We had everything, you know, we was living off the land. We was doing good. But now, see, hence the title of this show, If My People. See in Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven, see, and heal their land. He's not talking about the dirt on the ground. He's talking about the dirt you walking in on your 2 feet. See, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about you. He's talking about you, these earthen vessels, carrying around his spirit to heal your land only because you acknowledge him as the God, the Father, the Heavenly Father over your life who sent his son to die for you. That's how you win a battle. It's not in and of yourself to fight something spiritual naturally. It's only going to be fight by putting God in remembrance of his promises and standing and allowing God to have his will manifest in your life. And you run on with the testimony. Not knowing how he was going to do it, when he was going to do it, but only knowing that he can and will do it. He promised. He promised. He said so. So thy will, that's what it said. When the disciples came to Jesus, what did they say? Listen, Lord, how do we pray? He said, you pray our Father. He didn't say pray my Father. You were already included in when Jesus came, see? Because he knew his purpose. He knew what he came for, see? That's why when anybody came against his purpose, he told Peter, he's like, we're not finna let you die. He told people, get behind me, Satan. See, he recognized the enemy, the spirit of the Antichrist in Peter at that time, speaking to Peter against his purpose, that which he came specifically in the earth to do. You're not finna tell me that I'm not gonna do what my Father said. Because all Jesus ever said, read the book. I must be about my Father's business. Nothing else matters. And when you have that, see, the kingdom, if you put my kingdom first and all of its righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. Remember the first commandment he gave Moses was, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before me, because I am a what? I am a jealous God. He comes back and Jesus speaks, see? In Matthew, if you put my kingdom first and all of his righteousness, be ye holy, as it says in Peter, for I am holy. This is the example. This is who I need you to be. I'm not saying be perfect. I said be righteous. I said be holy. I said contend for your most holy faith. Fight for it. Just don't give in. He said there is no temptation known to man that, you know, you can't resist. Resist temptation and he will flee from you. See, he's given us all these things to fight for. He's given us all these things to let us know that, hey, this is where I am in you. See, put me in remembrance of my word, because in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. But if you remind me of my word, surely it should come to pass. But what are we doing when we get in those hard places? When we look around us and it's a pandemic everywhere, see, and people are dying on the left of us and people are dying on the right of us. Do remember Psalms 91. They said, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Are we remembering that? And putting God in the remembrance of that. God, you said, nothing can touch me. You said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon. And every lying tongue, God, you said that you would fight it. See? This is what you said. See? Well, so when the enemy sends things and people against you that's telling you opposite of that which God said, did you say no weapon formed? Because surely the weapon is going to form, but it's not going to be successful. Because if the weapon didn't form, how would you have a testimony? How would you say that you have overcame this or you have overcame that? How would you show the evidence of God working in your life? So don't think that trials and tribulations are always a bad thing. Sometimes they just come to strengthen you, to let you know that God is indeed with you. Because remember, he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. But see, we get caught up in the things of this world. Focusing on the things of this world rather than focusing on the things of God. We're not putting his kingdom first because we're too worried about the bills. We're too worried about the pandemic. We're too worried about our children. We're too worried about our marriages. We're too worried about our husbands. See, too worried about our jobs. Rather than putting his kingdom first. Still giving thanks and praises to the Most High, regardless of what is going on around us. See? Still living righteous, still living holy, not charging God foolishly because things didn't go the way that we wanted them to go in our life. We blame calamity. You know, we have a tendency to blame calamity on God. Well, God, you did this to me. No, because before you married that man or before you married that woman, did you consult the Father? Or did you just go by what you felt and what you thought? Did you wait on God for an answer, for him to say, hey, this your helpmate? Or did you go out of your own emotions? See? Only down the line in a few years to see, well, that wasn't of God. So you let it go. See? And realizing 17, 15, 20 years later, see? That, hey, God, I never asked you in the first place. I never consulted you in the first place. See, God, what is your will for my life? Realizing that now, see, all those things, all the heartache, all the upset, all the trials and tribulations had to get you here. See, that you might be able to edify the body of Christ. He said, because we overcome by the words of our what? By the words of our testimony. It took not feeling wanted. It took being rejected. It took not being loved. See? To turn my face back to the one who created me, which is the same one that sent me with this word down in my belly. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Your testimony ain't for you. Your going through ain't for you. It's to strengthen, that's what it says in Ephesians, to edify the body of Christ, to let them know, hey, God did this for me. Surely he can do it for you, because he's not a respecter of persons. See? He says, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It didn't say that he so loved Leona. So it ain't just for me. It ain't just for Pastor Ross. See? That overcoming, that I shall not never leave you nor forsake you, that lo, I am with you always, that I am a very present help in the time of trouble, that what you pray in secret, I will reward you openly, that, you know, come to me, all ye who are weary laden, when you just can't take no more. See, and you don't know where to turn, and you don't know where to go. All your friends, all your family, nobody is there for you. But you have enough foresight. You have enough intestinal fortitude to remember the name of the Lord. See, and turn your face to God. Seek him, repent, and let him come in. If my people who are called by my name, humble yourself and pray. Turn from your wicked ways. See? I ain't calling you wicked. God said it. Turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. And I'm going to heal your land. I'm going to heal you, whatever malady it is. Sick mind, sick body, sick spirit, whatever it is. I'm going to turn my attention to you, and I'm going to do a whole renovation. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to gut out everything that's not like me, give you a new mind, give you a new spirit, so you can be truly made in my image and made in my likeness. All things are going to be passed away. See? And once you start learning of me, then I'm going to give you a new suit. See? I'm going to fit you with that whole armor of God. See, I'm going to gird your loins about with truth. See, so now you ain't got no more fleshly temptations to fornicate. See, you ain't got no more fleshly temptations, you know, to fornicate like the children of Israel against me with idol gods and have everything else in your life against me. You know, sometimes idols, and we have to realize this, sometimes idols are not idols that we make, like a cup or a mug or a wooden figure or stone statue. Sometimes idols are the things that we put before God. It could be a TV show. It could be a video game. It could be a wine bottle. See? Anything you put before him. See? That addiction that you might have to whatever. That you put before him, that you would rather do instead of reading his word, that you rather do instead of coming in prayer and communicate with him. Those are your idols. That desire that's stronger than communicating and conversing and building your relationship with the Father. It's your idol. That's your idol. See, whatever you take care of more than you want to take care of God's business. Those things become your idol. And God says we fornicate with them because we've established a relationship with them and we love those things rather than loving God. See, if you put me and my kingdom first, then all else would be added to you. Sometimes God blesses people and then he has to revoke the blessing. See? He has to allow the cankerworm to come in and to eat everything away because you forgot your first love. That's what happened, kept happening to Israel. Because every time he would bless them, then they would backslide and go do things that they know they were not supposed to do. Because the blessing became more important than the blesser. What he gave you, that which he blessed you with, it became more important than the one who gave it to you. It became more important than the Father who gave it to you. See? So then he has to come in and take it, and you wonder why it all happened. Where's your heart? Where are your thoughts? Are they still with the Father? See, because the enemy is saying he was subtle and he's deceitful amongst, making you think that because God blessed you, because now you're saved, you're confessing Christ, and God is beginning to bestow these blessings upon you. The enemy comes in and gives you these high thoughts that make you think that you did it all on your own, that you accomplished these things all on your own. You forget about grace and mercy. You forget about favor. You forget the scripture that says the king's heart is in God's hand, and he turns it whichever way that he wants to. And just so happened in that season, God was turning it in your favor. You forget that. You forget the prayers that you prayed, the tears that you cried when you were going through, when there was a need. But now that that need has been supplied by the Father, you forget. Now you think it's you. It's not you. It is, it always has been, and it always will be the grace of God, the grace of our Heavenly Father. Because anything that we ask for in His name, believing, so shall we what? So shall we receive. That's his word. That's what he said. He said he wouldn't withhold any good thing from us. But when we get it, remember to keep ourselves covered in the whole armor of God, that the enemy does not come in and deceive us, that we might lose that good thing which we fought so hard to gain. It's a fight every day. Remember to praise him. Remember to thank him. Because God is good. Every day that we wake up and are able to suck air, we ought to thank God. It doesn't matter what the day brings. If we know that God is with us, then who can be against us? People are going to leave all the time. The closer you get to God, people are truly going to reveal themselves. You're going to have some friends and family, I'm sorry to say, that's going to be jealous of you, that's going to hate you, that's going to walk away from you, who don't want to be affiliated with you, who will tell you now, oh, you going to that church, you acting funny. No, that's just the spirit of the enemy in them. Just pray for them. Rebuke the enemy like Christ did and keep on going about your Father's business. Because everybody can't walk with you. That's why he told Abraham, Abraham, listen here. I need you to get away from your father's house and all of your kin folks and go to a land which I have shown thee, which I have promised thee. Abraham couldn't even obey. He took Lot with him. He took his nephew with him. But even at the end of the day, he had to separate even from Lot. Because he's like, listen, this too many people. This too many people. We got our herdsmen, they fighting. See, the enemy got even, because you're bringing what God told you not to bring with you. He said, get away from all of your kin folks. See, because Abraham, I want you to myself for a season. And when you're coming into Christ and God wants to take you on a higher level, in him, he's going to separate you from everything that you know and everybody that you know, because now he wants to pull you closer. So the only relationship that you can rely on, because remember, his commandments say, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. See? So when he wants you to himself, he's going to pull you closer, and it's going to look like everything around you is falling apart. But God already knows. He said, remember Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans. See, I know the purpose of your life. See, and now that you're here, now I need to bring you up a little higher. I need to bring you up a little bit closer to me. And of course, the enemy is going to fight you. It's going to feel like you're losing everything. It's going to literally feel like you're losing your mind. But you got to remember that God has called you to greater. God has called you to better. See? Paul said we die to ourselves daily. What we feel and sometimes even what we want. We have to let those things go because that is not the Father's will for our life. See? Yeah, it hurts. We're human. God knows that. You read in the Old Testament, if you read in there, he say his heart hurt. He cried for his children. He cried for Israel, but Israel had turned his back on him. Think about your children, if you ever had a spat with them, and they didn't want to talk to you. And those of you with adult children, they won't pick up the phone, or they won't call you, or they won't talk to you. See? You know how that hurts? Something you birthed, something that you nourished. See? All the years until it got grown. See? Only to get grown, and then they don't talk to you anymore. That's how God felt about us. When we begin to confess him, but then we turn our back and go back out into the world and not acknowledge him anymore. You want to hear from your children every day. Don't you think the Father wants to hear from you every day? He wants to know how you're doing. Daily prayer, daily meditation on his word, truly putting him first in your life, not just for the blessing. Not just for the promises, but because he is God. See? It's that unconditional love. See? You know how you felt about your wife, or you felt about your husband, or your significant other, as they say, in these days and times when the relationship was new, how you stayed on the phone for hours at a time. How you thought about them every minute and you just wanted to be with them or you just wanted to call them. That's how the Father feels about us. And that's how we should feel about him, that if we haven't prayed today, if we haven't opened the Bible and studied his word today, we ought to feel like something is missing. We ought to feel incomplete because he is the only one that truly completes us. He is the only one that truly makes us whole. So what's in your arsenal? What are you fighting with? What are you fighting for? Are you contending for that faith that was delivered unto you? Are you fighting for your purpose? Are you fighting for that which the Father has spoken over you about you? Not being deceived by the enemy, but going on in the things of God, endeavoring to do all that God has called you to do. Knowing that obedience is better than sacrifice. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know. And bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. See? Doing what God has called you to do daily. We die to ourselves daily. We fight daily. It's a daily fight. See? That's what he told the disciples, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Whatever we need for this day, provide for us this day. See? Lead us not into temptation. Everything the enemy throws at us, God, we know that we already got the victory. We might not be able to see it, but God, we know that on the other side, we coming out greater. We coming out stronger and with a closer relationship to you. Regardless of what it looked like. See? Because doing all that we had to do, knowing all that we could do, now we stand in our most holy faith. Stand, God. Having our loins girded about in truth. We stand with the full armor of God. And we have on the breastplate of righteousness and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, because we have studied that word. So we're prepared for anything the enemy throws at us. We're taking up the shield of faith, and we're quenching every fiery dart of the enemy. We got our minds and our ears covered with the head of self, with the helmet of salvation, and we take it on the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, God. We are well equipped. We are ready and armed for battle. See? Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I hope this word has edified your spirit today. Help you feel like you want to run on just a little bit longer. And we will meet back here again next Sunday at 12 noon. This has been Pastor Leona Ross on Blog Talk Radio with If My People. We're going to take you out of here with a little bit of Fred Hammond, Hear My Cry, and followed by Kurt Carr, Jesus Will Work It Out. Blessings on you. Have a blessed week. Remember, there are more with you than against you. And this week, remember, when all else fails, stand on the word of God. Put on the full armor of God and know that he is fighting for you. Amen and amen. Thank you.
difference in me.